Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Welcome back, Vinny and Haney Show. Bob Haney with the day off. Bruce Cunningham sitting in with Vinny Serrato. We're going to bring in Cordell in just a second, Vinny. But I mentioned this a second ago. I find it interesting that less than 2 hours from the first pitch, we still don't have a lineup for the Orioles. And, you know, with the Gunnar Henderson question hanging in the air, I'm just saying, maybe 1-1, make two this time. I continue to update and no starting lineup yet. Cordell Woodland, our friend, joins us now. Cordell, you've been around. We're talking Ravens, but you've been around the Orioles a little bit. It's unusual 2 hours before first pitch we don't have a lineup, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been constantly checking my phone and haven't seen anything yet. Like you mentioned, the Gunnar Henderson of it all, it may be playing a factor. We just finished Open Clubhouse. Didn't see Gunnar in there. Doesn't mean he's not here, but he didn't walk in there during the 50 minutes that we were in there. So kind of waiting to see right now what this is going to look like for today.
Now, Cordell, watching the game last night, Crochet, that's what the Orioles are lacking.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. I mean, that's exactly what it was. It was an ace on the mound for the Red Sox, and he pitched like an ace. He was pretty much untouchable all night. Not a lot of hard hit balls really either. I mean, I think it was maybe in the sixth inning where you had Jordan Westberg hit a liner to second base, and Adley had hit one out, I think, to deep center field. But other than that, I'm sorry, Tyler O'Neill had hit one to deep center, but those were the two hardest hit balls of the game against Crochet last night, who was really on it. I mean, Brandon Hyde talked about how he had outstanding stuff, and he did. So, you know, that's kind of been the story of the season to this point for the Orioles offense. Honestly, it's been up and down, up and down. Today is supposed to be up, so we'll see if they light up the scoreboard.
Hey, one other question about the Orioles. Is the tarp still out?
When we went in, the tarp was coming off. Now, I don't know if they put it back on. I haven't been able to look at the field since we came out of the clubhouse, but last I checked, they did take it off. The rain had stopped.
Okay, good.
Now, Cordell, what do you think about today's game?
It'd be great if I had a lineup to really know who's all going to be playing. But, you know, it's getaway day. It's still early in the day. What you're hoping for is better at bats than what you got last night. You're hoping to get a little more success, because I thought Zach Eflin pitched well enough to win.
He did
last night. And it's not like he had his best stuff, but he definitely played good enough for them to win. But when you're not getting pretty much any offense at all, that's not going to help. So hopefully they can put a couple of runs on the board. And as we've seen with this team, when they start out good, you know, they typically finish well as also. So I think it'll be important to jump out to an early lead.
Yeah, and that's the MO for this team. You get an early lead and then hope you can hang on, at least so far. I'm not going to make too many decisions after five games, but, you know, that's the way it looks to me. Let's talk about football for a minute. With the draft coming up, I was listening to the morning show on the way in. I listened to Vinny's draft profiles a lot, too. Have you seen a worse year for quarterbacks in the draft than 2025?
Well, I mean, it's almost inevitable, right? I mean, after last year, you know, you had so many quarterbacks taken in the first round and so many highly touted guys coming out that, you know, it's almost expected that it's going to be a down year this year. And I don't think, you know, that it means that there still can't be some gems. As we've seen before, there have been plenty of quarterbacks that are hyped up going into the draft, and then their career turns out to be a dud, and vice versa. So, you know, this isn't the year that quarterbacks are at the top of the discussion for the draft. Doesn't mean that there aren't still some good ones. So I think there will be a couple of quality ones, and not a lot. I want to be clear. I don't think there will be a lot, but I am interested to see where these teams value some of these quarterbacks and where they'll be taken. It's already rumors that it looks like the Giants probably won't draft a quarterback, which I think is a mistake. But the way that they've moved this offseason doesn't look like they're going to draft one. And we'll see what Cleveland does as well.
You saying the Giants made a mistake personnel-wise? What?
Shocker.
Hey, Cordell, you know what? Like, when I heard that the Jets were buying out, what, 150 employees and stuff, you know, that kind of came to my mind that, is he selling the team?
Mm-hmm.
Would he?
I mean, yeah. No, I mean, that bears a good question, because what is going on out there with the Jets? I mean, we know the dumpster fire that they've been on the field and even at times off the field. But, yeah, that is definitely eyebrow-raising. I'm curious to see what comes of that myself, because I think there's been obviously a lot of pressure on Woody Johnson and that Jets front office to make something happen, and it hasn't. I don't know if Woody's looking to get out, but it wouldn't shock me with all the things that have gone on with that franchise over the years.
Yeah, Johnson & Johnson, they have a lot of money, and that's who Woody Johnson is. But he came in, he brought in Aaron Rodgers, they brought a lot of other additions to the roster. That was going to be their big shot. Woody Johnson's probably looking at this and saying, Vinny, I spent the money, and that didn't work. What else can I do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, and they don't – I mean – They've drafted premier guys like Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall. I mean, it's not like they've had terrible drafts. They've been able to get some premier players out of some of those classes too. And like you said, they're spending the money. They tried it almost every which way. Some franchises, and believe me, I would know, some franchises just, you feel like a curse at times. And I think that's just kind of what it feels like with the Jets. It just feels like no matter what they do, it's just they can't do right.
Hey, Cordell, what do you think happens to the AFC North? Aaron Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh, and then Kirk Cousins goes to Cleveland.
Now, that would be funny.
You know, because then they take Abdul Carter at 2, then they got him, right. Garrett, and then, you know, with Cousins also.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't know if that would be enough for me to really, you know, fear the Browns. I mean, they'll be tough defensively because they always are, but offensively, there's still nothing there right now, even with Kirk Cousins, who's coming off a down year. And I don't know if, you know, last year was weird for Kirk. It's his first year back, I think, coming off the ACL from the year before.
No, the Achilles.
The Achilles. I know it was something season-ending. But he comes back off of that, and he already has a first-round quarterback sitting behind him that they're kind of, you know, is looking over his shoulder. So I don't know if that's who Kirk Cousins is at this stage of his career, but I think it'll take a lot more than Kirk Cousins to fix the Browns. With Aaron Rodgers going to the Steelers, I mean, I actually – and Vinny, you knew I was never really high on Rodgers with the Jets, but for some reason, him with the Steelers intrigues me. Pittsburgh doing what they do with these mediocre quarterbacks, I would just have to imagine that Rodgers – they'll get more out of Rodgers than they did with Russ last year. I don't think the offense completely falls off the cliff for a whole month with Rodgers, and I'm not saying that they're going to win anything with him, but I do think the product will look a little better. They would be a little more dangerous. Will they win the North? Who knows? But I do think they'll be slightly more dangerous than they were last year.
It's extremely non-Steeler-like, this whole thing. Like I read yesterday, Rooney, he says, well, we think we may be moving forward to some kind of agreement. That's not the way the Steelers do business.
No.
This whole thing has got me confused, you know?
Well, they're desperate.
They're desperate. That's what it is. When you don't have a quarterback, you become one of these desperate teams. And we see teams get out of character, like you're saying, with Pittsburgh. It's not the Pittsburgh way. They're usually the team that the people want, certain players want to go to. And really, Rodgers isn't even a Steeler type of player. So, I mean, It's a lot of different factors with that. And maybe that's what's taking Rodgers so long to make that decision, because, you know, he knows what type of culture they have over there. He also knows how he's kind of a freelancer. He likes to do his own thing. So will it work? Will it not? But definitely this is what happens when you're a franchise desperate for the quarterback position.
What happens if he tells the Steelers no? What in the world, you know?
They'll probably, Jackson Dart or somebody else, I'm guessing they'll draft. You know, I mean, Tomlin said he's ready to go forward with Rudolph, but I mean, please.
Please.
I mean, if I'm a Ravens fan, I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. Go Mason. You know. Cordell, enjoy the game today. I hope you stay dry.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep. All right, there he goes. Cordell Woodland. Enjoying a game of Camden Yards today, which is about the best way I can think of to spend an afternoon here in Baltimore. Coming up, we're going to do the whip around. We're going to go around a world of sports. Not a whole lot happening, but we got plenty to talk about. That's coming up next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
45 seconds to go in the period. There's Ovechkin score! Career goal number 892. There it is. Ovi, three goals away from catching the great Wayne Gretzky. You were saying
passing
two from catching. You were saying earlier that the Gretzky is just going to travel from this point on, right?
Yeah, Gretzky and Gary Bettman are going to be following, you know, until he breaks the record. So I mean, he's three away. They play Chicago tomorrow night, so I expect Gretzky and Gary Bettman to be in house, and tickets I'm sure are going to be crazy because Chicago's one of the worst teams in the league, and that's who they're playing.
You think they're going to create some opportunities for Ovi in that game tomorrow?
They always do. And let's just hope that, Bruce, it's not like he has two, and then the Caps are up like by two or one or whatever, and Chicago pulls the goalie, and the one that breaks is an empty net.
Yeah.
That wouldn't. We needed to have it from the office.
Yeah. But you know what? He's not giving it back if it's an empty.
Well, they were talking on NHL radio. What do you think happens with the puck? Does it go to the Hall of Fame? Does Ovi keep it? You know, what will happen with the puck?
Just first time I've heard that. Just my snap reaction, it's up to Ovi.
Yes. Oh, no question.
If Ovi wants to donate to Hall of Fame, fine. If he wants to take it home, that's fine too. My opinion. All right. The other big piece of news right now. The mystery has been solved. Gunnar Henderson not in the lineup today. The lineup came out 5 minutes ago. Vinny, I'm at a loss. I can't figure out why, unless they just sent him ahead to Kansas City and tell him to relax.
That would be the only thing that I could... He played last night. That would be the only thing that I could think of, you know, because... And we talked a little bit about off-air, too. Nolan, I want to get your opinion, too, because you kind of had the same thing as me, that, hey, you know, if he's available, play him. But... I guess what you don't want to have happen is you don't want a reoccurrence of the injury because then he's out 6 to 8 weeks, you know, and then what are you going to do then? So that could be a major problem. So just give him extra time. I mean, he had 3 at-bats last night. And
see, I got to wonder, Vinny, how he's coming out of Norfolk. I mean, is he okay? You know? Could something have been tweaked or I don't know, we're just speculating here.
No, I would think I would think
swinging
he's fine.
Pretty hard. Yeah. I mean, with the injury that he had in that rib area, I mean, he wasn't even cleared to make hard throws or swing hard. That home run he had the other night, my God, I mean, hit it like 110 miles per hour. I think he's swinging full speed here.
Well, which makes me ask that question. You know, is he coming out of Norfolk okay?
I mean, I don't know. I think if this was a night game tonight, maybe he is playing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think you're right.
And if you're not playing him, then you might as well just ship him to Kansas City and let him get a workout in and do that.
Go get some ribs tonight and some burn ends and be ready to go tomorrow.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
So here's the lineup. Here's how it's going to go without Gunnar. Mullins is going to lead off and play center. Adley behind the plate, batting second. Westberg batting third at second base. O'Hearn at first base in the cleanup spot. O'Neill is the DH today, batting fifth. Kerstadt in right field, batting sixth. Holiday obviously remains at shortstop, batting seventh. Urias remains at third, batting eighth. And Carlson is in left field. Charlie Morton on the mound for the Orioles. So the suspense is gone. No Gunner today. I raised the question about how he's coming out of Norfolk. You guys kind of convinced me. I really think they just sent him ahead. Cordell was with us a minute ago and said he didn't see him in the clubhouse, which doesn't really mean anything. It could just mean he didn't see him. But then again, he could be in Kansas City.
Live update here. Vinny, you might be reading the same thing.
From Rock?
Live update. Hyde's talking right now, pregame. Oh, okay. Said, quote, probable that Gunner plays tomorrow in Kansas City.
So that means he, yeah.
Yeah. So,
Okay.
Because Rock wrote, Henderson wasn't at his locker this morning, and he had a box of mail sitting on his chair.
He's not there.
No. He's in Kansas City. So I guess they didn't get the private plane for him.
Well, you know, Charlotte's an airline hub. There's a lot of flights in and out of Charlotte, so you probably don't even.
They were in Norfolk, right?
I thought they were on the road in Charlotte. They were in Norfolk?
I don't know.
But don't worry about it then. I don't know.
But, you know, I'm sure Rubenstein has his own jet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Guys at that level, they tend to have their own jets.
And if I'm an owner and my best player needs a lift, I'm giving him a lift.
Why not? Here. But probable he'll be in the lineup tomorrow.
So that means he's playing tomorrow.
Yeah, I would think so, too. But I don't know. It seemed like the wordage could be stronger. I don't know. Maybe I'm obsessing over this. I just think the whole thing's very unusual.
Hey, Nolan, back to, you know, what we talked about way back when we were saying, why are they going to play Holiday at shortstop? Are you cool? He seems like he's doing a good job at shortstop.
He's fine. Yeah. A little pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't think there'll be any issues going back to second. I mean, he's been pretty smooth.
Confident.
I think confidence is a thing.
Well, the second thing, that was the issue, because he worked so hard last year to learn to play second base. He'd been a shortstop his entire life, you know, and he did a lot of work and became a better second baseman. And I think a lot of the question at the beginning of this season, is he going to regress, you know, now that he's not taking balls at second base anymore? He's looking good at shortstop. I'll give him that. He had that backhand play the other night.
Yeah.
Looked great. And
a little one-hopper.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and everybody says, well, you know, the arm. But, I mean, Gunner does a lot of one-hoppers, too. I mean, if you're throwing off balance and stuff, I didn't have a problem with that. I thought it was a nice play that he made.
He's going to be fine.
I just want him to start bunting a little bit more. You know, get some bunt singles and use his speed, get on the base pass. You know, he's hitting the left field.
The Orioles have the tools to create runs, but they just don't use them. You know, I mean, you can bunt, you can get on, you can do things like that. They don't play small ball. They're sitting back and waiting for the home runs.
Well, Hyder talked about that. That's what they were going to do. They were going to bunt more and steal more bases.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The bunting thing is a bit overblown. Like, you can play small ball without bunting. And for a hitter like Holiday, I mean, he's so damn good that, I mean, he doesn't need to lay down a bunt. I mean, obviously don't want him swinging out of his shoes, swinging for the fences every time up there, but I mean, he's got a pretty good approach.
The only thing I would say to that, Nolan, is like when I grew up, Rod Carew was the best hitter. I mean, he batted 400. He would get like 15 bunt singles. You know, like if he would get in a little slump, you know? He'd throw down a bunt signal. He was an awesome bunter. You know, and to have that in your repertoire. Yeah, right.
I think a lot of young players, to be brutally honest,
don't know how to do it.
They don't know how to do it at all. Buck Showalter talked about it when he was here as a manager, said, you know, ask the guys to lay down a bunt, and they're looking at me like I got three heads.
Yeah.
You know, and so at a certain point it becomes, well, if you can't do it, I mean, we can teach you, but that's not helpful to the team. You know, if you had a Rod Carew, great.
Yeah.
By all means, lay down a bunt. They don't have one.
I'm wondering, like, in Little League Baseball, no. John Chirk, if you're listening, my neighbor, he was a baseball coach, and his son plays college baseball. You know, are they teaching the young kid? Because I remember when I was a kid, when you go to batting practice, you like your first four or five, you'd have to bunt.
Yes.
You know, or at the end, you would have to bunt. You know, I don't know. Are they... John, if you're listening, give us a call, because are the kids bunting nowadays?
I don't think so. I don't. You know who might be able to answer that question? Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Yep. He's our guest next on Vinny and Haney.
That's probably good.
Of course, Vinny and I are considerably older than Mike Bordick, but I'm sure Mike Bordick has aging complaints as well. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, absolutely, I do. No doubt about that.
Hey, I told Vinny earlier, I'm watching a game yesterday or last night, and Crochet was everybody wanted him last year at the trade deadline. His name was all over the – we saw why yesterday, didn't we?
We sure did. What a dominant arm. I mean, electric stuff. He had great command of all four of his pitches, I think, last night, and shows how dominant it can be. And there's, you know, a lot of deception in his delivery. He's got that short arm that he hides behind his head, a la like Zach Britton back in the day when Zach was so dominant. Just incredible life, and it's a power fastball. I will say this. I was a little shocked that they kept him in there that long. I mean, over 100 pitches here early in the season, and a guy that has just over 200 innings in the major leagues. I would think he would be a guy that you would take your time with more than anybody in your rotation now that you've locked him up. I mean, that's an early, in my opinion, risk. So, but he's dominant, no doubt about it.
Now, Bordy, you talk about take your time. Seems like that's what they're doing with Gunner. You know, it sounds like, I don't know, maybe he went straight to Kansas City because he's not there today.
Yeah, the day game kind of put a wrench in that, I think.
Is that what it is, do you think? The day game? Okay.
I think so. I mean, he played last night, right? Did he play seven innings?
No. Rob said he left with a pinch hitter.
Yeah, they pinch hit for him.
Bordy, when I said what would have happened in the NFL owner would have had his plane down there waiting for him and flown him back last night, you know, a 50-minute flight or whatever, and then he would have been ready today.
Yeah, well, I kind of alluded to that last night on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Why not just get him one at bat if you think he's ready to go and get him up here for this day game and let the fans see him and cheer him on and get him fired up. So, I don't know, we could maybe kind of speculate that he might not be ready yet, but I think, you know, all indications say that he's ready, and I am a little surprised that he, you know, had to play the full game last night, and with the day game today, I would love to see him play in this afternoon game. But you're right, he may be already on his way to Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, we waited for the lineup. It didn't come out until just after 11 a.m., 2 hours before the first pitch. Let's explain to everybody how unusual that is. It seems to me that maybe there was some discussion going on all morning long.
Yeah, and you never know. It might not even have been about Gunner. You know?
Well, that's true, too.
They got a lot of decisions to make over there right now with arms and all kinds of things. So, you know, I will say this. They did avoid a lot of conflict when Colton Cowser unfortunately got hurt, because who the heck were they going to send out then? So they were able to avoid that. And I do think they were just wondering if Gunner was actually going to be okay today. I just feel like, wow, it's just way too rushed. You got to deal with all the emotions, kind of tone it down a little bit. You know, he still only has a handful of at-bats. So I personally don't think he's ready. I'd like to see him out in the field, diving around more, and just get his legs completely under him before he comes back. I know they're really anxious to get him going, but you know, I'm fine with not rushing him at all.
All right, Bordy, you're the perfect guy to have on to talk about what we were talking about earlier, because we were talking about, you know, Holiday, and we're talking with Nolan, because I says I would like him, you know, to bunt a little bit, and Nolan says, well, he's too good a hitter. I says, well, when I was growing up in Minnesota, Rod Carew, you know, who batted 400, he would get like 15 bunt singles a year, and then everybody's saying, well, kids don't bunt anymore, and since you teach young kids and stuff now, Bordy, are they teaching kids how to bunt nowadays?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you get a kid that actually knows how to hit, that has an instinctive, you know, ball to barrel kind of thing at a young age, it's all about creating power, man. It's unbelievable what little kids come up to me and say that, you know, a hitting coach told them to do. Listen, I just got to believe, I'll always believe this, you have to be a good hitter first. You have to have the ball, you know, the to bat skills. You have to have that kind of athleticism. Because it's really hard to hit. And then the higher levels you get and the velocity, you really need every tool in your bag. Yeah, I love power too, but there are going to be those days when there may be a beautiful opportunity to lay down a bunt. A team won a game last night, walked off a game with a bunt. It's just a weapon. It's an offensive weapon. And when you have speed, and if a third baseman or a second baseman is out of position, even a first baseman playing too deep, man, what a great opportunity to pick up a hit, keep your confidence high, help your team, get on base, steal a base. I mean, there's just all kinds of things you can do with it. So I'm a firm believer in playing the scoreboard and use all the tools you have at your disposal. And I think every hitter should learn how to bunt, at least for a base hit.
Bordy, are you teaching the young kids? You're teaching them how to bunt and stuff, right? Because I know you teach a bunch of littler kids.
There's no doubt about it. And when it comes down to bunting, I think the most important thing is to understand that that barrel's got to be out in front of the plate.
Yeah.
So stay fair, you know, and you can control it better. Everything in this game, it's really bizarre, but it's in front of you. You've got to be able to see the ball to hit it, see the ball to catch it, see the ball to bunt it. Problem is everybody lets it get too deep, and when velocities click up, it's pretty hard to be consistent. So get those eyes behind the barrel and the ball, and you'll be all set.
You know, as I look at his team so far, and it's very early in the season, but it seems to me, and I kind of had this feeling coming out of spring training, it seems to me the bullpen might be the strength of this team.
Well, I would say if Kittredge was healthy, you know, so they have some depth, there are some good signs, but there have been question marks, and I still just think it's so early. I mean, my gosh, Dominguez coming out of spring training, you thought, is this guy ever going to know how to pitch again? And then next thing you know, he looks pretty darn good, good command. So it's just constant adjustments. Guys have to step up, and guys have to, you know, be the dog out there, man. I mean, there are some questions with, you know, Batista still. He's got the nice velocity, but listen, guys don't just bounce back from Tommy John surgery, you know? I mean, we all talk all the time about, yeah, well, he's going to get Tommy John and he's going to come back and be good. It just doesn't happen that easy. And time again, you see those examples where it is literally 1 year off, 1 year to truly recover and get the feel back, and then the third year, you're back to being more of your normal self.
That sounds like the running back in the NFL, Bordy.
Yeah.
Hey, Bordy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Talk to me about the torpedo bat, Bordy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you use
it? Man, oh, man. Do I wish I had that torpedo bat, right? Hey, man. Players are always looking for ways to get better. And I think nowadays, especially, even though there are still some guys that cheat, you know, offensively, trying to find a bat that is the perfect balance for them. And I think it's pretty cool, man. If I was a hitter, I would certainly experiment with everything they have to offer, with weight in the knob, how the hands work through the zone quicker, and they can distribute weight. And now with these torpedo bats, with all the new Hawkeye in all the stadiums, you know, they're able to pinpoint where a guy actually makes more contact on the barrel. And so they can kind of move the weight, I guess, around and distribute it differently and make that one point of contact, that more consistent point, a little bit harder. Listen, when I played back in the day, we were always looking for a harder bat, something with true grains. And if we found a knot in the middle of the barrel, you know, some of us thought that that must be the harder wood. So, you know, bone that up on the sink and let's go to work. So always looking for advantages like that. What kind of gets me about this whole thing, though, is how can MLB not be involved with these kind of changes?
Yeah.
Looks like it's a surprise to everybody. Like, what are we doing here?
Their offices are in Midtown Manhattan. It's a short subway ride to yeah. Yankee Stadium. Take a look, right? So,
exactly. I just don't think they should be allowed to just do whatever the heck they want, and then all of a sudden Major League Baseball say, well, yeah, it is kind of in the rules. Shouldn't they present it to MLB and say, is this going to be okay? And maybe they did.
I think MLB is hoping the Dodgers don't get them.
Or Bordy, you know, if you ask, they may say no.
Yeah, right. No, you're right.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you a kid with his parents, Bordy. Well, if I ask Dad, you know, he's probably going to say no, so I just won't ask and I'll just do it.
Exactly. No doubt about it. I mean, that's the way it is going nowadays. I think they're making up rules and they're not even asking MLB.
Why not? Mike Bordick, as always, a pleasure to spend some time with you. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Bordick.
Hey, no doubt, guys. Hey, make sure you check out that Be More Baseball podcast. Me and Jerry Coleman got a great thing going right now. Great guests and stuff. And make sure you subscribe and like on YouTube. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, see Bordick. You later. There he goes. Mike Bordick working with Jerry Coleman.
Bordy took over when Adam Jones came to the O's.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they had a very successful podcast when Adam was there. And now with Bordy there, I'm sure it's outstanding.
The one line.
Except for Coleman. You know, Coleman, you know, his information, you know, Bordy's awesome. Jerry, not so sure on old Coleman. Love you, Jer.
It's Brotherhood Week again already. The time passes, doesn't it? Coming up, we're going to go to the Funhouse. We're going to see what you guys think. Check the texts and everything. Vinny and Haney Show continues.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick straw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Gene in Annapolis. He's frustrated. He's putting it lightly. Says, what's frustrating about the O's loss to Boston is Crochet. Well, he should be in an Orioles uniform. The O's needed him, should have got him. Also Chapman, for that matter. Think the O's could have used him in the bullpen. Looking more at Boston's offseason additions, Bueller, Bregman, the Red Sox did way more than Baltimore did. It's tough to watch our rivals beat us with guys that we could have had.
The Red Sox got a lot better. I made that point earlier in this program today. If you look at what they did in the offseason, and then you see that pitching performance yesterday, and you look at Bregman at third base, the Red Sox for a couple of years have been terrible, and we've gotten used to them not being contenders. Where they're back. They're back for sure.
I would think, Nolan, that, you know, if we're in August and Boston's kicking butt and those guys are doing well and the Orioles are still in the same situation pitching-wise and stuff, there'll be a lot of woulda, shoulda, coulda.
This one here talking about concerns over long-term contracts. Texter says, would prioritize signing a guy like Westberg long-term, especially if you can't get something done early with Adley or Gunner. This fan base is tired of watching other teams extend star players or young players earlier in their career. Meanwhile, we have to sit around and just hope that one day one of these young stars will be here long-term.
Yeah, I mean, that's legitimate, and that's a problem that the Orioles are going to face, you know? We've been talking about it ever since Gunner and Adley came up. Well, 5 years from now, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to keep these guys. And Jordan Westberg now, you know, you're going to have to figure out a way. I don't know that it's possible.
Well, the thing about what people see is they see Rodriguez, they see Bobby Witt Jr., they see people doing it with these guys, and the Orioles have those guys, but they don't do it. I think that's what people... You know, I mean, because other people are doing it.
Right. Well, nobody wants to hear it, but you can't compare all of these contracts. They're so different. Like
right.
The Jackson Merrill thing, what, 9 years for $135 million? That's a bargain.
It is.
There's nobody on the Orioles roster that's going to sign for that right now.
No.
I'm a little surprised that Merrill did after he could have been Rookie of the Year last year.
You know, it's interesting. He's from Severna Park. You know who else is from Severna Park? Mark Teixeira. So that Severna Park Little League, they can pat themselves on the back a little bit, I think.
And how about one more here? This texter says, I know it may be old school thinking, but I'm convinced the O's would be much better if they could put high average, high on-base percentage guys much higher in the lineup ahead of your power bats and Gunner, maybe even Adley. Also go ahead and trade Kerstad right now for his own sake. I don't see him getting that much more playing time this year, even in light of a Couser injury. That's an interesting take there.
Vinny, you've been a GM. I mean, if you look at this roster and you say, all right, who's expendable? Who can I trade? Who can I trade right now if I had to? You'd have to say Kerstad.
Yeah, but the thing about it is don't you kind of want to wait till the trade deadline where you got, you know, your ammo for, then you have a much better idea exactly what you know you're going to need, and more players are available at that time because, you know, you got people that are already out of it. So I wouldn't trade anybody right now. I would wait because if I'm Elias, all right, if we're rolling at the trade deadline, I mean, this is the biggest trade deadline he's ever had because he's sat back and not done a lot. He's got to be, like, the big winner.
Yeah, and to that texter's point, I'm not even sure that Kerstad is expendable right now because, again, the Couser injury.
Yeah.
I mean, he should have more playing time. Last night with the lefty, you understand it. The lineup was just funky top to bottom. I mean, people had a problem with it, but it is what it is. I mean, he'll get his playing time, and he's going to be needed.
No question about that at all. But, again, if you look at that roster and you say who's expendable, you'd have to look at him.
Major league or entire?
No, the Oriole roster. Who's expendable on this roster if they wanted to make a trade?
You talk strictly majors.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's different. But yeah. Like a Kobe Mayo, I mean, that's like a, where the hell is this guy going to play?
You know,
I mean, that's expendable to me.
It disappointed me that he didn't make the club. And I'll tell you why. For many years.
He was never going to make
it. Well, no, but listen, let me. For 8-9 years, we had Joe Flacco here in Baltimore.
Hmm.
And then we had a chance to have Kobe Mayo, and it just didn't work out.
Scott Van Pelt would have had fun with that.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Tim Kirkjian. Yeah. That always gets me. You ever seen that, Vinny?
What's that?
He does the Baltimore accent to Tim Kirkjian, and Kirkjian just dissolves. Oh, man. He does this.
That's past my bedtime watching Scott Van Pelt. No, he comes on at midnight, doesn't
it's
he?
It's past mine, too.
Yeah.
In fact, this morning, when the boss called me and said and wanted me to come in, he says, is it too early to call? I said, man, you have no idea what time I got up this morning. Retired guys.
Hey, Nolan, speaking of Kobe Mayo, how's he doing?
I haven't really heard much about him, to be honest. I mean, a lot of the talk with the minors this past week, everyone was so infatuated with Gunner.
Well, I know mentally he wasn't in a good place when he got sent down. He wasn't happy about it at all.
I'm sure he was pissed. But the thing about it is, as Elias said it, I mean, he's got no chance.
Quick peek here at the stats. Again, it's just a box score, but 3 hits so far, 22 plate appearances. So a bit slow out the gate. Does have a homer.
3 for 22 with a homer. Yeah, that is a little bit slow. All right, coming up next hour, news from the Nest. We got plenty to talk about today, that's for sure. That's coming up next on the Vinny and Haney Show. Stick around.